Welcome to the M3 podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Brie, and I am so stoked to share part two of this two-part deep girl talk that we just had. Melody Kramers is a dear friend of mine. She is the creator of Vyana Fitness and a cycle syncing expert. That means that she helps women with their cycles sync their health and fitness programs, nutrition, mindset, everything to create more energy, less stress, and a fire bod all at the same time. I'm so happy that we got to navigate our conversation, not just talking about periods, but also relationships, self-abandonment, business life, creating routines for ourselves to stay rooted in our practices. And I'm here to just be vulnerable in my own as I share with her some of my struggles with my childhood, with growing up in relationships, and how it's created a maybe distorted belief system at times, right? We're not all perfect. And to be reminded that sometimes can knock us off our own rocks when we're trying to create a foundation maybe of inspiration to others. And her and I are both in that, what my mom likes to call instafluencer. So instafluencers, meaning influencers, is somebody who just creates a positive impact on another person. And I believe that I do that day to day with my actions, how I show up for other people. And I see that with Melody. I see this to be something real and no shame in being a woman and going through what we consider to be different people throughout the month. So I'm here to share some tips on syncing your cycle and bettering your training programs, your overall daily health and fitness routines, and keeping yourself as positive in mindset as possible. It's all about the belief system. It's all about our mind, and that's what powers through the tangible areas in our lives, like our physical body and our environment. So create that space, positive space in your head. Respect your body's vessel and the response that it gives, especially being instinctually a female, showing up in your masculine and feminine energy. We all have both. How are we able to show up in our relationships as both? So we get into it all. I'm going to let you all listen to this episode, share your feedback. If you can, do me a favor, leave a rating and review on this podcast and let me know your thoughts. That's the only way that this show grows, and I am so thankful for all of your support. Now let's dive in. It's crazy to hear this because you kind of answered already a question that popped up in my head was, what do you feel has brought people to compromise and not figure out how to stand in their masculine or their feminine or own that power? Because so many, like, I even have the book, The Mask of Masculinity, that was given to me recently. And to think of that, that's literally who my past partner was, where his mom died of cancer when he was 20. And like, he's in our like early 20s. And so he's at a point where you can see that there's a lot of wounded feminine energy within him, and he's had to carry on the mask of masculinity and just feel like he has to be the tough guy, to be the father, the man of the house, or take care of things, or, you know, have resentment towards maybe one parent or the other, or just even have a situation where he felt like he didn't know how to shine on that feminine energy. But yeah, I see this person wearing pink all the time. Like, I see him very much owning a lot of feminine aspects to him. He's very much about style. He now is very emotional, and I love that. But it's like, I see somebody who still maybe even struggles with the balance of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what knocks people out of that balance of their masculine and their feminine. And you mm-hmm. just mentioned that, like, people might have gone through abuse or had some sort of neglect or something where they had to figure out how to stand in that other power because of what was hurt or wounded from their initial.
Well, first of all, I think it's easy to.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to be knocked out of balance because, A, what is balance?
Like,
in anything, right?
Yes.
It's like, what does that mean for you? It might mean something different for me. And A, and B, who do we learn this from? Like, do I learn this from my mom, who has, you know, built this like masculine shell of herself because she had to, because her trauma that she's experienced? And then, like, the men that she's dated not living up to whatever they said they were going to do. And so she had to do it herself. Like, not going to learn masculine and feminine balance from her, right?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it is just like the seven wheels of wellness. It's like you got your environmental, your emotional, your physical, your mental, right? It's like anything in any of those areas can throw, you know, something off. But being in fitness and kind of just bringing it back to that, it's like you are taught to work. You were taught to train. You were taught to build in gymnastics. I grew up in gymnastics. You were taught to show up on time, ready to work, ready to train. I had an 8-pack of abs when I was 10 years old. You know what I mean? So it's like I grew up trying to be more in my masculine. I would compete against boys. I remember in like middle school and high school, the physical fitness test, I would get the boys' scores because the female scores were too easy for me. So it's like I grew up competing with men. And then that showed up in my relationships. I started competing with them. Mm. And that also threw the masculine and feminine balance out of whack. And then struggling to be financially secure after not having a job for a year and deciding to do so, but still. And then also having to restart my business, rebuild myself, build my brand, find a safe home. It's like every single chakra was out of whack. And you know how I put that root chakra back in? Was by doing the things and by building things. And I think that was one of the things that came up when I started to see these hormonal shifts was I was been in my masculine for so damn long that it was kind of hiding a lot of these issues that I had in my body. And then as soon as I rested into my feminine, and I literally wrote about this in my journal, it's like, I want to be more my feminine. I need to express myself more and heal from all these things. As soon as I did, a lot of these issues with my womb and with my menstrual cycle started to come up. And so I don't know what the energetics of that have to do with it, but I've been kind of thinking about that a lot is there might be hidden things in your body that come up when you're in your masculine and come up when you're in your feminine. And I think moving through a lot of just the stagnant energy or the energy that you no longer want in your body is really important to discovering your balance because I need to be masculine in order to build my business.
I'm also curious if, like, let's say somebody is brand new to dating their partner and they are like, hey, I just learned about cycle syncing on this podcast episode, and now I also want to show up softer in my feminine. So how would they communicate that with their person and say, like, hey, can you show up and be more masculine? Because I feel like that's also demasculating.
I know, right? That's such a good question. I've never thought about that. Like, what do you actually say? I think the first thing is to start asking for things.
Oh, yes. I like that.
Start asking for things.
Can you help me? Can you get this?
Can you just grab me this? Can you make me tea? It would look so nice if there was flowers here. Like, give them a wink. Sometimes men are kind of like, they don't read between the lines. They do not read between the lines literally ever. Right?
They need the piece of paper right in their face.
They need the piece of paper. Just hand them the paper and say,
hey, instruction manual.
Like once a month when I'm really moody, can you just buy me flowers? It'll help me so much, right? It's like you've mentioned before that I get like kind of moody and you make fun of it, but like buy me some damn flowers and I right? Like, but no, asking for things is really, really important or just to shift more into your feminine. And then you can stop asking for things. And before you sit down to watch a movie together, he's going to be like, do you need anything? Because he doesn't want to sit down and then you ask him for something and then he walks up, right? So I think that's a really good first step is just females receive. So start asking.
I love that. That's a great answer.
And I do it all the time. I'll just be like, can you take out the trash?
Yeah.
Can you make me some tea? I can do everything myself, obviously. But I think it keeps – it's just like it keeps the spark alive,
keeps
right?
Keeps the boy on his toes, too.
Yeah.
So I'm also curious for just going – we had this conversation before I hit record and started the episode, but we were talking about relationships and self-abandonment. And when we really like someone, we tend to do the opposite. We tend to give, and do all the things that include abandoning ourselves, right? So how can somebody avoid doing that, or they recognize that they're starting to self-abandon mm-hmm. and they want to get back into their own power? How do mm-hmm. they do that?
I can only speak from experience. And for me, self-abandonment is not doing something for myself that I would normally do in order to keep it available for him or in order to do something for quote unquote us, but really for him to make him think, oh my God, she's the best, right? He should already think that.
Yes, he should.
But I think one of the telltale signs is when I stop making dates with my friends so that I could leave it open for my man. Mm-hmm. That is self-abandoning because my friends give me energy, right? Like the women that I hang around with, my like core group, we learn from each other. We grow together. We are the funniest group of humans to ever exist. It's like, that gives me so much energy. And yeah. Before the relationship, I would hang out with them all the time, right? And then now during the relationship, I barely see them. It's like a part of what stokes my fire is missing. Mm. And so that is the first thing that I notice if I stop making plans with my friends, or if my friend makes a plan with me and it's like, this weekend, it's going to be a girls' weekend. And I feel in my soul like, oh no, I don't want to make that plan in case he wants to hang out with me. That is like a deep-rooted attachment style, I think, of self-abandonment.
True. I feel the same way too. And I'll even notice it as much as not wanting to go on trips or like, you know, certain things where I would want to live this life for myself. And I recognize that like, it's hard for people to travel when they're in a relationship. And then I think about like, it was even hard for me to have a job when I was in some relationships.
Yes,
like I'd want exactly. to just go home all the time and cancel all my clients. Or
yes,
things. Yeah,
exactly. When you start canceling clients, when you start yeah. canceling plans, when you start looking up, you know, this couple's retreat or this Airbnb in the desert because he said one time like 5 months ago that he wants to go to the desert. And then instead of working, you're looking up this Airbnb.
I've so been there.
No, stop right there. There's a time and place to do all these things, which is so beautiful that you want to provide and, you know, be that
like sense of excitement in his life too. But just like, remember, be a sense of excitement in your own life and don't ditch your goals for someone else.
You mentioned to me a few struggles of your childhood and I feel very similar with them. So my mom's on her fourth marriage. My dad's on his third. And I've seen infidelity. I've seen a lot of arguing, fighting over money. I've seen physical things happen. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And so when we were talking earlier, it's like I feel like my parents have given me a very strong example of what not to do, how not to show up. And I've learned from their – I don't want to say the word mistakes, but their experiences – that I don't want to make similar actions with my own choices in life.
Oh, yeah. Hit the nail on the head right there. I have beautiful examples of what not to do and no examples of what to do.
Oh, I feel like my parents still are learning that part too. They're still learning on like trying to figure it out
for us. Yeah, for us, right?
Yeah, for us.
It's for themselves at this point. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm on my own. Just please take care of yourself because I don't know if I can right now.
Yeah, and like even just to keep it real here, I've got my own sticky situations that, you know, I've talked about. And my mom came home and took care of me for the time that I was here. I hardly ask for help, right? Which is something I'm learning to do. I hardly asked for help. And I was at a point where I was actually in so much pain and really struggling that I said, hey, I'm booking a flight home. Mom, can you fly out to come and take care of me?
Aww.
And she was,
of course, so excited.
Yeah,
right?
So excited.
It's all she wanted to do.
Yeah. She's like, yes, I finally get to live out my dream as a parent. Right. So I had her here. We had a great week. Everything was going well. But as the week continued, you could tell that she wasn't happy with some of my choices that I'm making with the people that I'm around, and particularly one person in general. And so she was like, I'm not really fond of this person spending time and hanging out. And I mean, this person's been so kind, super nice, helpful, here to take
care. She knows his backstory.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she.
If you tell your mom one bad thing about someone, they're forever.
Forever.
Like in sixth grade, I told my mom something about this girl and she still brings it up to this day.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to say her name, but like that girl.
I'm like, mom.
I was like,
right?
We're behind that.
So my anger came from like, she's not accepting this person. She's not accepting the reflection of who I am. So this person being in my life is a reflection of me.
Yeah.
And I've seen her go through bad boyfriends that I didn't like, friendships. She's gotten her heart, you know, all twisted up into different messy things. And I've still been her kid and loved her as my mom and idolized her as who I knew she was doing her best at. And it sucked to see somebody who was judging me for that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it makes, like, I can't imagine all the people in this world that get judged by parents or judged by friends.
that feel like they're not following their hearts and doing the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to figure it out. We need the choices too. But I'm like, man, our parents, I wish they would show up with a little bit more compassion given the things that they've been through.
Seriously. I feel that too. And then also learn from their mistakes instead of repeat them over and over again.
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, a lot of my mom's mistakes were from her being way too in her masculine.
Same with my mom. Yeah. Controlling, wanting to control.
Wanting to control everything. And I mean, I try to control so much about my life already, right? It's like I still control my diet because I'm dealing with some gut issues that I'm clearing up. And I still control my training, right? And now it's like definitely more fluid and it's based on my cycle. But it's like now I cycle sync. It's like I control way too much. I control my business. It's like the last thing I want to control is how people treat me. I can tell them how to treat me by just how I treat myself. And also the permission that I give them and the wiggle room that I give them to show up authentically.
Yeah. Parents included in that.
Parents included in that. Yeah. Absolutely. I went home, or I went to like a family reunion the other week. And I feel like sometimes my siblings will treat me like that 16-year-old that I once was. Mm-hmm. When the last time we were really living together, I was 16. And I just have to remind them like, hey, I am not who I used to be. And you honestly probably don't know me actually at all. And I think that when someone has an idea of you, or if you tell your mom and now she has an idea of this person, it's like that idea is ingrained. That's why I think first impressions are so damn important. And I also think that how you lay the foundation in your relationship with what you receive and the control that you don't take as a woman also lays relationship, like lays the foundation for how that person sees you and how they treat you as well.
Oh, I'm like, that just gets me into the boundaries and respect spectrum, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, for masculine and feminine, just going back to it again, how can we respect a man and his masculine? And because I also feel like people make fun of it too, because being masculine doesn't mean that you have to be tough either.
No, it doesn't.
And so I'm like, how can somebody show that they respect their masculine or their feminine as well?
Yeah, that's beautiful. There is the wounded masculine and then there's the healed masculine. They have very different traits. And then same thing with the feminine. There's the wounded feminine and then there's the healed feminine. And if you can probably picture someone in your life who, like a man who just kind of like overcompensates, has a huge ego, kind of narcissistic, just kind of like puts people to the side, isn't a caretaker, but maybe has all this money, but doesn't use it for any type of good and is just like very selfish. Like that's wounded masculine. Okay.
Yeah.
And so healed masculine is you look out for others. You are a leader, but you're also a listener. You are a caretaker and you are courteous and you are chivalrous. And you think about others, but you don't let them sway your decisions. You are not egotistical, but you are definitely determined and you understand where you stand and you affirm in that and you have the set of beliefs. And so I think the masculine really likes praise. Masculine men love to be told that like you are doing an amazing job. I feel so safe around you. You make me feel so just like, yeah, like safe, like I believe in you, and just like giving them the praise to let them know that what they're doing, what they're providing is working. Like, yes, good job.
Yes.
You know, it's working. You're doing amazing. Like all the work that you're putting in, it's paying off. And I think to see for a masculine man who's in his healed, he wants to see that feminine be able to relax into her essence so that she can pour more into him in her love and in her heart and in her way that she can float through life and things just come to her and she accepts them freely with butterflies in her eyes. And it's like, they are enthralled by that. The healed masculine thinks that is the most beautiful thing in the planet is for a woman to be in her essence and not care about the wounded feminine is just like spiteful and bitter and controlling. It's like, that is not attractive to a healed masculine, maybe to a wounded one, but not to a healed one. And so being in your healed feminine of like being vulnerable and being emotional and being authentic, you are a caregiver in the way that you show up for people and that you hold space for people and that you nurture and that you have empathy. And I think the healed masculine and the healed feminine have so much to learn from each other. And together they are just this beautiful synergy of exactly, you know, what humanity could look like if we leave from love.
I'm even just brought back to the beginning of relationships where we're so afraid to be vulnerable with our new person, or the, you know, maybe the guy is playing it too cool and looks like a narcissist. And it's like, we show up and are wounded even when we're not trying to. It could be an unconscious thing.
Right.
And that's how I feel like a lot of people don't make it when they could. They could have fought a little bit harder. They could have done things to be, you know, in the flow. And I see that where people are so willing to like run away or go to the next option. Or like we were just talking about 2020's world of dating. It's like you can swipe on the next person. Like,
it's so weird.
Yeah. It's so, there's too many options, too many things.
There is. And you're so right. And I've seen that time and time again with my friends too. It's like, I'll have this really great guy friend who wants a forever partner, and then he shows up and he acts like an idiot. I was just like, no, what mold are you trying to fit? And I think a lot of it comes down to insecurities, authenticity, and that word healed. That word healed is huge. Like if you have a bunch of traumas in past relationships that you haven't healed from, and you're in your masculine and you're just trying to like bury them, you have scars, and scars are weak and they are tough. And that is not a great characteristic when you're showing up in a new relationship. You want to be authentically yourself, and you want to open up, and you want to be able to explore this person and find if, you know, you can live the rest of your life with them. It's like, you can't show up weak and tough. And so the first time I met my partner, I was telling Bree, I literally cried in his face.
You showed up in your feminine heavy.
Heavy feminine. I literally cried. And the reason that how I know he is in his healed masculine is he sat there and he just had these loving eyes of, I'm not judging you at all. I am here for you. Keep on going. Do you want to go for a walk? How can I make this better without offering anything? Right. He wasn't like, do this or you should do that. It's like, no, I shouldn't do anything. You're just holding space for me. And he did. And we didn't even know each other. Right. And so maybe a man who's not healed or just isn't, or has wounds with the feminine, being too dramatic or whatever it is, right? It's like, maybe that would have scared them off. But I showed up authentically and he matched me with that. And then we created a beautiful friendship and now a beautiful relationship because of that.
The foundation pieces that it takes. That people don't just go into a partnership and think everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies. It's really the construction site that's built and the foundation and all of it, the base of the structure of that. Mm-hmm.
And again, how you show up that first time, I think really lays the foundation of how it's going to be. If I showed up like, I got it all, like I'm super independent, I don't need you, then maybe that's the expectation. So that the first time I do break down and cry, they don't know what to do. They're like, oh God, like, is this who you are? Like, right? They're very confused. I'm not saying to show up and cry to every guy that you want to date. That's not what I'm saying.
It just worked as a good first time for Melody. It
worked out.
So my thing to like go full circle again with the cycle is a chick's showing up and she's like, I'm PMSing, I really want this ice cream, can I justify that? Is this me being in my feminine, really like crying my eyes out and feeling my feels? Like, why do we act crazy like this? And
why justify do we act that? Crazy? Wow. I don't know if I'm the person to ask this question, but all I could do is speak from experience. Yeah, so my version of acting crazy is, God.
Yeah, I act crazy like 1 week out of the month. And it's like two hard days of like everything makes me angry or bitter or agitated or annoyed. I get very annoyed, like very short-tempered.
Annoyed. Very, very annoyed. Yeah, and then I'll just like self-sabotage by, instead of doing what I told myself I was going to do, I'll do something completely different.
Yes.
And so that self-sabotage was something that I had to get out of my life, and I had to get out of my clients' life, because before I started cycle syncing with my clients, they would have this check-in form at like their late luteal or when they're heading into menstrual, and it would be like, I fell off this week, I ate a bunch of sugar, like, oh, I feel like shit, I guess I just got to get back on next week. And I was like, damn, this is happening every month. Like, how do I stop this? This is killing their self-integrity.
Yeah.
It is like halting their progress for like a good 5 days when it comes to their fat loss goals. It's like, how do I? And now
this is a very common thing with a lot of female clients too.
Such a common thing. Yeah. And it was common with myself too. And so now, instead of trying to have the same expectations on yourself during that time that you would have during follicular, when your metabolism is, maybe burning 500 less calories a day, you're not very hungry, you feel like you have energy, you want to show up for the gym, you are not that person. You're not the same person in your late luteal if you have a normal cycle. Okay. And so that means you have to have expectations as if you are this person you are currently, not that person you are 2 weeks ago. So
I don't know that girl. She's a whole different girl. I'm just going
to
say.
Dude, you better get to know her because she's showing up every month. Right?
She has a different name.
Literally has a different name, right? It's like some people have like their drunk name. It's like, I got my late luteal name.
I have a late luteal name.
Yeah, so name that girl. She needs support in a lot of
it. She needs support.
She needs some help. And it's just so true. You have to have different expectations with yourself. And so this is like, I do not plan social events in late luteal. Hell no. I do not want to get out of bed. I want to drink some tea and be alone. If my issue is like agitation and anger, the last thing I want to do is be around people. Especially if they're happy. I'm like,
God, you're happy.
Right?
I don't know you.
So it's like cycle sync your life. It's like that's the time you hermit. That's the time you pick up guitar or journaling or drawing or coloring. And that's when you just like you really are with yourself and you are with those emotions. And then you get to experience, oh, this emotion's coming up. I'm sitting here alone. I wonder why. Oh, it's because I've been scrolling on my phone for the last half hour. I should probably get off of that and stop comparing my life to these people because A, I don't have any estrogen. So I'm definitely not in a very happy mood. And B, my progesterone wants me to rest, but I'm so busy chasing dopamine on my phone right now that I'm not actually resting. And my cortisol is spiking at the same time because I'm comparing myself to these people. So it's like
the never-ending spiral.
That never-ending spiral. And so know who you are in that phase. And I would say there's a lot of things you could do nutritionally, and especially with, you know, healthy fats and enough fiber and stress management and just enough calories in general during that phase that is going to help with the hanger and the PMS and the cramps. And, you know, instead of drinking a lot of coffee because you're not energetic during that phase, literally take a nap, drink electrolytes, like supply your body with what she's actually begging for. Eat calories instead of drinking a coffee. Have lunch with beef and potatoes and vegetables and fruit.
Substance,
right? Stop eating chicken Caesar salads all the time, please. We are done with chicken Caesar salads. I swear to God, when women come to me and they're just like, oh, I have a horrible period. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you eat? And they're like, salad, low calorie, no fat. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's why you have a horrible period. You literally are nutrient deficient.
Yes.
And so you got to know how to nourish yourself. You got to know how to place the expectations on yourself that you're going to be able to show up to happily during that time because you are not the same person as you are in the other phases. All about expectations. So now with cycle syncing and me programming rest for my clients during that phase, programming a diet break and maintenance or above, programming, you know, their stress management and making sure holding them accountable to their stress management during that phase. Now their check-in forms are, I made this new banana bread. It's keto. It's vegan. It's gluten-free. Here's my recipe. You should try it. You know, I had an amazing nap. I did this new yoga class. I actually took some time to rest this weekend. I feel so much better. I'm ready to PR next week.
Oh, yeah.
I went from, fuck, I fell off to, oh, my God, I'm ready to PR. Like, I just rested. I needed this. Completely different mentality.
And I went and tried something new. I went to a yoga class, right? Yeah. Insane. The excitement behind that.
Excitement. Yeah.
Mindset shift.
And it's like those habits that we were talking about in the past that we've built for ourselves that maybe have gotten to ourselves to our goals then just don't work for us now. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing in the span of your cycle. And if you're not on birth control, you're experiencing normal hormonal shifts, then you've got to manage your expectations mentally too so that you don't get so down on ourselves. Because I don't know if it's like just society these days or if we were always like this, but I feel like women are really, really hard on themselves. And we expect ourselves to show up and push hard. And there was this one Instagram reel audio and it was trending. It was like, do it hard. Do it when you're tired. Do it when you're cold. Do it when it's raining.
do it, you know, when you're sick, do it. It's like, show up. I was like, oh, this is horrible. And then like you would see women in fitness, like training and posting with that audio over it. And I'm like, this is a horrible message to anyone trying to reduce their stress, heal their hormones, and balance their lifestyle.
That even sounds like a wounded masculine vibe right there.
Crazy.
What do you feel about like even girls who are in that realm of comparison where they are like, I'm not doing it like they are, how I can't get a 6-pack abs, like I can't be like Mel's 8-pack when she's 10 years old. I'm just kidding. But like, like, you know, like people are thinking like we see these people doing the extremes.
Yeah.
And we think that we're supposed to do it too. And I feel like we get caught up in those moments when we are a lot more emotional or heightened,
yes,
know, with our emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is I'm sorry, sister. And I've been there too.
Yeah.
And I've been there too. And I think it's really important to understand the lifestyle that goes into looking like a lot of these physiques that you'll see online too. It's like, do you actually want that lifestyle? Does that actually bring you joy?
Right.
Okay, you want to look like that, but do you want the actions and the lifestyle that comes with looking like that? Do you want to skip brunch with your friends? Do you want to stop drinking? Do you want to count all of your calories? Do you want to train really freaking hard for 10 years and then finally eventually be able to stop counting calories and stay lean? Like, that's what it takes.
And
do you actually want that? And yeah, exactly. Right. And I think that we see kind of like the end result a lot and all these lean, fit bodies, but you don't see. And now people are starting to share more about this. And there are some influencers being like, I'm not healthy. I'm not happy. I'm really depressed. And I also compare myself to so many people too. And I think it's just like this wounded sisterhood that we have. And I don't know when this started, but
yeah,
the sisterhood was pretty wounded. When I was living on the East Coast, I feel like I would compare myself to a lot of women. And growing up, I was always compared to my stepsister. We were always compared to each other. Me and her weren't. Me and her were best friends. But our parents would be like, oh, like Alexandra could do this. Or like Melody could do that. Or like, oh, she was doing that like before you were doing that. I'm like, oh, I didn't remember asking.
Yeah.
How about
they're painting that perspective and putting it in your head.
Right. And so that is also something is like, heal your sisterhood trauma and be happy for your fellow woman. And just because her light is shining so bright doesn't mean yours has to dim. And that's a main part of it. But also it's like, understand the lifestyle that's going to make you happy. And then the body that is actually healthy. And I feel like your mind is going to be in a better place when you actually start living for yourself instead of living for, oh, what I could be if I did what she did. Why are you worried about what she does?
The wounded sisterhood, I want to go back to because that's something I feel is so important. And I see some aspects of it here in San Diego. I don't see it as much as I do in other like culturally based places where like everybody drops their kids off at the auntie's house and then one auntie helps the other sister out, you know, and like everybody's there to support each other as true family, even when they're friends or cousins or whoever.
Yeah.
But here I feel like I've heard from a lot of people when they're hurting, they feel like they don't have anyone to call. They don't feel like they have like true deep friendships where they're afraid to unmask themselves for somebody when they need them. And I don't know if it's just maybe PB or society or like maybe even the friendships I've had growing up that I'm like, maybe I need to get deeper into them because I know that there's people there, but we're overstimulated, overconnected. I almost feel like there's just so much going on where we have to respond to 100 DMs all day long and text messages and this and that. And it's like, when did we just like pick up and FaceTime our friends and like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come over? Just knock on each other's doors.
Right.
Like,
just show up.
It's so nice. They said, show up. Just come over. Like right. What you're doing right now. Like, I love this.
I know.
We need more of this. Mm-hmm. And to me, the wounded sisterhood is where we need to empower each other in our feminine. And going back to the feminine masculine energy, I don't see that enough where we are feeling like we can all be soft or have women's groups or sisterhood together. I want to know, what do you think makes it better for our society to grow that, to cultivate that? Because I want that. I want that in my life.
I am so fortunate to have that finally.
Good.
Truly. The women that I have surrounded myself with lately are that they are so supportive, and we're all on the same spiritual journey together. And the support of having a woman support you, that is your friend, that is your sister, that is just like, and they know themselves and they know you, is so magical. Right. And I've never had that in my life growing up or anything until I started to support women. And so I do think it starts with you. Mm-hmm. I think it starts with first knowing who you are so that you can build that confidence to just be in your authentic expression. Because if you're not in your authentic expression, maybe you're in your ego, or maybe you're in, you know, this bias of yourself that your mom told you you were one time. Or, you know, what the names your sister used to call you growing up, or, you know, the names that bully used to call you growing up. Like, maybe you still have those insecurities. And if you're not living first from your authentic expression, you're not going to attract authentic women to you. I think mirroring that and the law of attraction is a major factor. But then also providing the energy you want to receive. It's like, how are you showing up to other women? Are you secretly judging yourself? Are you secretly judging them? Because if you are, expect that same energy to be reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just kind of bring it back to, you got to own it, and you have to take control and not control. I kind of hate that word now,
but like
to take ownership,
ownership. Yeah. Yeah.
You take ownership over the relationships in your life, and some of them you can't get away from, right? It's like, we can't pick our family, right? And if you have harmful female relationships in your family, putting up boundaries is going to be really important for your growth and for your ability to attract females that actually do support you. And so, like, I grew up in a family where, you know, we were constantly, like, talking about each other, and maybe not in the best way, and comparing ourselves to each other. And then growing up with friends, and it's like, I competed in gymnastics. I was a solo athlete. And so my job was literally to be the best. And I was compared to other girls for 13 years. And even in gymnastics practice, it's like, you know, we were all compared together. If like one of us fell out of a position or stopped our conditioning, you know, the whole team had to restart. So then we were like, well, hope she doesn't do it. She always falls out of conditioning. Like, she always never completes her reps. And then we all get into trouble, right? So there's just a lot of societal pressures, I think, and then family pressures that have built up this resentment towards other women. And it's so damn sad. And I think until you start like really reaching into your authentic expression of your womanhood and owning it and owning your emotional, your empathy and owning your emotions and just being yourself. It's like, my sister is one of the most emotional people I know. And when she's holding it in, she's not nice, right? But when she's letting it out, I feel so much more connected to her. So it's like these biases that we have to not be able to express our full extent of our authentic self. Maybe because one time our mom said, stop crying, suck it up, or that's not ladylike. It's like, we are so ingrained by these things that have been told to us our whole entire lives. And I think it just builds and builds and builds for resentment to who we are, which is a reflection of maybe a resentment to another woman.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to, I just ended a 6-week trip with one of my really close friends, and we were already close to begin with.
A beautifully just well-rounded, authentic woman.
For real.
Yeah.
But what people see is somebody who is very, I don't even know if the word's polished, but she is very well put together. She's got this elegance, this grace to her, where you would think her life looks like it could be easy. And I know it's far from that.
Oh,
you
my do gosh. Too. Yeah.
And so when we were on this trip, we grew from like really close friends to like straight family, like straight up sisters,
quick.
And we jokingly say this, and it's funny because I'm literally leaving to go back and fly across the world to go hang out with her. I miss her so much, right?
Amazing.
But it's like, we spent 6 weeks inseparable from each other, where we were like sleeping in the same room, we were fighting, we were, you know, going on the most crazy adventures together, like following our hearts, doing all these random things where it's a once in a lifetime experience, right? The things that have happened where there's like several bickering moments, they were good moments of growth where I've felt this from a couple situations, and even as of lately, I felt this from a couple situations, but I feel like I've had this almost my whole life where I've wanted to not necessarily prove people wrong, but give the situation the benefit of the doubt and say, like, I don't have malintentions or I'm not here to hurt anything. Like, I'm here to really show up and be here as a good friend for you. And I feel like people have come from very wounded places, like Gabby, where it's, and we've talked about this on a podcast, her and I, recently, where we're outside, we had just finished like and I don't even want to say the word argument, but we were like bickering, and then we got into a deep discussion, and then we're both sobbing outside, and because we took our conversation outside, right? So we're both sobbing outside, and like it was at a point where she's just sitting on the bike crying, and I told her, and I'm hugging her, and I said, when will you believe that there's people who are really just good for you in this world, that want to be there for you, that you deserve a man that's kind to you like this? You deserve a friend who is here supporting you like this. Like, when will you realize that these are things that you deserve? And she started bawling because she never felt like she deserved that type of friendship. She said, I've always just been waiting for somebody to like turn it against me or go come at me. Yeah. Yeah. She's just waiting for the bad to happen. Like, she's always had this gut feeling that something bad's just going to happen because that's what she's had growing up. And I said, not everyone is like this, and people are not always here to hurt you. We have people here to support you. You don't have to, you know, defend or put a wall up or feel like you need to guard yourself. Like, let your guard down and be that friend too. So it's like, I think that that's part of the sisterhood, like you were just saying, is like the insecurities, the wounded effort.
Right.
Like, yeah. And so I'm like, I want us to tear more of each other's walls down in a good way, and like remind each other that we deserve this.
Yeah. And not backstab each other. It's like, how many stories do I know about like someone sleeping with their ex-boyfriend? What in the world? Like, if you look at someone a certain way, I'm like, hands off, right?
Yeah.
And that should just be understood. But I think this idea of competition and then motherhood trauma, it's like you say, daddy issues, like mommy issues are real. Yeah,
they're real.
Mm-hmm. And especially like, knowing that someone has such a good heart too, like Gabby has like a heart of fucking gold.
For real.
And then to see walls up that you just, you know that you can hold her in love literally for the rest of your life. It's like sad to see. It's like, oh my God, this wounded girl. Like, I just want to like hug her and pick her up and like show her trust. And it just takes so much more than just one person, unfortunately, right?
It does.
Especially if you have a lot of relationship trauma and a lot of family trauma and fear of abandonment, you're going to be waiting for that shoe to drop because that's all you know.
Yes.
And it's going to take more than just you. And it's going to take, you know, years of that, right? And
she's even talked about the abandoned before being abandoned. And that's something that I feel like friendships feel that too, where this person stopped calling me or this person isn't showing up. Yeah. They want to flake or they freak out and you think something's wrong with you, but right, really they're the one probably hurting.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a massive apart. It's a mirror. Everybody's a mirror, right? Of your insecurities, of the way you show up, of how you are, how you see yourself, how you treat yourself. It's all a mirror.
Do you feel like there are wounded parts that you're still healing?
Oh my gosh.
What are they? Do you want to share? Can you share?
Absolutely. I mean, I kind of like to break it up. Like, there's my physical wounds.
Mm.
There's my mental wounds. There's my emotional wounds. There's my family wounds. There's my intimate relationship wounds. There's my friendship wounds. And I'm wounded in all areas,
mm-hmm.
truthfully. And so I've never been one to use talk therapy. I've never been one to express my feelings. I'm a Libra, so I'll be crying and being like, this is great. I'm having so much fun. And I've just used exercise to kind of just bang my emotions deep down inside of me so that I didn't have to feel them, so they didn't have to come up. So I could just be pretty, or I could just be hot, or I could just have a good body, or I could just be like bubbly. And it's like, I could be all these surface level things so that no one has to see, and like well-rounded surface level things so that no one has to see how much deep inside I really am not sure what to do. And so, yeah, there's obviously the parts that I'm healing physically that I share online. And if you would have told me that I'd be speaking about periods and my chin breaking out and my bloat and literally showing it on social media months ago, I would have never believed you. But I feel like a lot of women are going through this, and like, they're just not alone. And so I'm healing my gut. I'm healing my relationship with my body when it changes, and it changes every month. And it also changes in the winter.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've just recently come to terms with. It's like, I'm going to be a little bit thicker in the winter, and that's okay. And the summer is going to roll around, and all of me like being so sad and thinking, oh, I'm never going to get my physique back. I always do. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's a huge part of me. Insecurities. It's like of not actually being able to be a successful entrepreneur, of not being able to have the financial security that I want, of, you know, not being good looking, of not being, you know, a fitness trainer who actually has a good physique. It's like that the standards that I've set myself are beautiful so that I can keep working towards them. But sometimes they're just, they tear me down. And then I come from a family of like divorce, mm-hmm. and a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing, a lot of separation, a mm-hmm. lot of chaos, a lot of moving around. I've lived in like 16, 17 different houses. And so definitely healing my root chakra, and understanding that I can create a safe place and a home for myself wherever I am and within myself. I think that's something that I'm still healing from. And then, yeah, just growing up and saying like the words that my coach and my mom used to say were suck it up and you're fine, even when I was not fine. And so I have this issue sometimes where I will ask for help, but because I look like I have my life together, or I'm smiling because I just smile all the time, people will be like, oh, you're funny. Haha, you need help. And I'm like, no, I need help. And I feel like I have this like dream part of me that's like screaming for help and no one can hear me because on the outside, it looks like I'm fine. And so I'm asking for help more, and I am realizing that I don't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. Like being a solo athlete and being told to suck it up, you're fine. It's like, I'm now expressing my emotions more, and it's really, it's gotten a lot easier, but it's like really hard to feel like I can express my emotions and still be accepted and express my emotions and still be strong. Yeah, that's just a little bit of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's very human, very, you're not alone.
Yeah. Thank you.
I feel a lot of those too.
I hear you. And
especially
I
when you were saying like business, the image behind business, being good enough in all areas, being the perfection of what our, you know, not following the footsteps of our parents and making mm-hmm. a better path for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like God bless them for doing the best they could, but we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for saying that we think that we can do better, but yet we're still just as human.
Yeah.
So
I'm just as human.
Yeah. I'm so happy to have this conversation with you, to share more. And I love wrapping it up with two very common questions that I like for this show, talking about the waves of life. Mm. And in my office, I have a sign that says, you can't, I was like, you can't ride the waves, but you can learn to surf. So it's like, if you are able to, or if you, you know, you can't avoid them, like they always will come, right? The emotions and all of that. So if you are here to ride the waves in life, as if they were emotions or actions or choices that we make that we can control, how do you handle the things in life that you can control, mm-hmm. like cycle syncing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or how do you also handle the things in life that you can't control,
yeah,
like other people's actions or thoughts that still come in? How can you control your thoughts yet? I can't.
Oh gosh. We try so hard. That's a huge one. We're still trying to do right for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It's a constant effort. I really appreciate this question. I think one of the things that I can control is what I choose, mm-hmm. right? I choose to ride the wave of fortune. Mm-hmm. And I tell everybody I am such a, like, I'm like the luckiest person that I've ever met. I tell everybody that. And I tell myself that I am the luckiest person I've ever met. Because I'm choosing to ride in, like, your choice is your perception. It's like you choose what you perceive. Mm-hmm. It's like I am choosing to perceive that life is just one big wave of fortune. And like when you talk about even quantum physics and like wave potentialities and like the potential of any potential reality that can exist, they are infinite. It is unlimited. Mm-hmm. And I choose to pick that potential reality of life being a big wave of fortune. And I take this from my friend Esther. So shout out Esther. But that is one thing that I definitely choose to do is like the perception of this is for my greater good. Mm-hmm. I've been through so much already in my life and I've done so much already in my life and experienced so much that, and every time I go through something hard, I just come back stronger, better, you know, more wise, more soft, more experienced. It's like, it's really hard to think about the way my life has unraveled that anything was for the worse. Right. So I choose to perceive life that way. And then when things hit me that I either don't expect, definitely don't want, and feel like I can't control, I think that is really where your belief system comes in so handy and why it's important to believe in yourself mm-hmm. and show up for yourself and build that self-integrity that you can get through the hard things. Because when those hard things hit and you don't believe in yourself, good luck. But when those hard things hit and you have that grit and you have that past experience of being able to pull yourself up by yourself, for yourself, with yourself. Mm. It's like, all right, here we go. And this might sound like so bad, but sometimes when you're in the lull and you're in the pit, because like life is the law of rhythm, right?
The luteal lull.
Oh my God, everything. It's like that law of rhythm states that as above, so below, right? Like there is a mean, there is an average, you know, whatever. Average how clean your place is, average, you know, characteristics that you portray, your personality, like there's an average. There's this amplitude above that might be like the good, right? And that there's the same amplitude of negative below. Mm. Okay. So when you're in that low pit of that negative, sometimes I have this feeling of like, hell yeah, I know I'm going to be on the way up after this, right? And like, you kind of ride that, wow, I am really going through it, but now that I'm going through it, I know that it can only go up from here.
Just to give the first thing that came to mind was you crying to Austin, like, you know, all of a sudden it's like it can only go up from here.
It did. Oh my God, falling.
But that's a prime example.
That's a prime example. Exactly. Completely just part ripped out, torn down. My lease was up, wasn't doing well in business. Just got broken up with, like heartbreak. I'm going through like all the surface emotions that I was healing from. Like I started to do like talk therapy with my friends and I started to talk about my childhood and I started to ask hard questions to my mom and I started to like do all these things. So all the emotions were just right there, ready to bubble over. And then they all did. And it was during that moment, Brie, where I looked at myself in the mirror and I was about to give up. I was supposed to like move back home with either my mom, which isn't home. Right. I haven't had home since my dad moved out when I was 7. Right. Or like move in with my uncle and I was about to give up. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, you can't. This isn't an option. Giving up is not an option for you because your potential is unlimited. And this is when all of my beliefs that I've been trying to program in my mind came out. They came out when I needed them. So it's like, watch what you tell yourself because in those times when you are down, all those thoughts are going to come up and they're either going to lift you up or they're going to tear you down even further.
That's the giant wave right there of you being able to control your actions and your choices in life and making something of it.
Yeah. Law of rhythm, baby.
Yes. And I'm like, just the second part. How do you handle the things that you can't control?
I think it's just with grace, like having grace for yourself. It's like, what else can you do? Have grace for yourself. And this is why habits are so important, because we will not rise to the level of our expectation. We will fall to the level of our habits. Mm-hmm. So if I have a habit of, you know, at least making sure that my mind is healthy, that my body is healthy, that my friendships are healthy, that my environment is healthy, that's more than a lot of people can say, unfortunately. And so I just feel like if I'm not dead, there's probably nothing that I can't handle.
It's like building a shield to protect you from the things you can't control right there, to let yourself be able to have the space to react to it better, maybe, or with grace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, building a space so that you can react with safety, I think.
Mm, yeah.
is important, but those things you can't control, man, they're a bitch. I don't even know. I mean, it's just like, you lean on your people. Mm-hmm. You lean on your people and you ask for help. Lean on your people, ask for help, and then dig into your masculine and get yourself out of that shit. Yeah, social support has been huge for me lately.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for sharing and for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is like one of the best conversations I've ever had.
Yes, girl!
Thanks, Bree. You're amazing. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.